Happy Labor Day, everybody. We hope that you're having a great day off from work. For most folks, if you are laboring here on this holiday in the United States, thanks so much for doing that. Let's talk Disney. We have Justin joining us today to talk about a very recent Disneyland trip, so let's have some fun with that. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes the wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, softcover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. I consider this my personal insurance policy against the crowds because it gives me the information I need to plan an amazing vacation. Get a full year subscription, premium subscription for less than $15 right now. Just drop by touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1219 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. Happy Labor Day here in the United States. Hopefully you're having a great day. Relax it. Maybe you got the day off. If you're like me, you're probably still working, but it's okay. I'm living the dream. I can't complain. Hopefully you are as well. Today, we're going to have a fun trip report. We're going to talk Disneyland. We're going to head out to the West Coast, where it's probably hot where you are today, but apparently in Disneyland, the temperatures are always beautiful and no humidity, which would be amazing around these parts. So joining me today from down in North Carolina, we have my friend Justin. Justin, how's it going today?
Going great, you know, here excited to talk a little Disneyland with you guys.
I'm glad to have you. Now, you were at Disneyland while we were laboring, speaking of Labor Day, the 12-hour live show for Give Kids the World, and you gave us a holler from out there during the show, so good planning there. We got a chance to talk Disneyland, and actually, I think we answered a question about dining live on the air that day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I planned that perfectly, so, because of course, it was my first time down there, so I knew very little. So I figured perfect time, ask a question, and get it answered on air.
All right, so let's go back to this. I would imagine you said first time at Disneyland, but you're on the East Coast of North Carolina. So are you a Walt Disney World veteran?
Yeah, I'm originally born and raised in Orlando. So I grew up in Disney World, the exciting thing about Disneyland was I have no first at Disney World anymore because I've always remembered Disney World, because it's been with me my whole life. So this is something that I've been planning for a while now. So that was the idea.
All right. So before we hop into the trip, I'm curious about that. I love learning more about folks that listen to the show. So you are from Orlando. What's that like, because I'd imagine Disney inundates your life when you're down there. It's just like, like Cardinal baseball here in St. Louis. You just hear about it. You grow up with it. Your first shirt's a Cardinal shirt. What's that like growing up that close to Walt Disney World?
Well, it's interesting because I'm actually from the Space Coast, where the Space Center is, and my whole family, everybody where I'm from works at the Space Center. So one of the cool things back in the day was when you worked at Kennedy Space Center, they had special parties and stuff like that. So it was actually really inexpensive to go, and we didn't grow up with a lot of money. So that was our entertainment. So, and it was funny, when you grow up near there, you have a camp, of people that love it and a camp of people who are kind of against it. So, because they are afraid that everything becomes Disney-fied. But I always loved it. And it was just, whenever I talk about some of my childhood memories, 90% of them involve some form of Disney.
So. I can imagine. That's so cool. Now, I also love the Space Coast. Don't get me wrong, man. I love that's my dream is to retire to Florida someday, but I think I want to live in Titusville. I think that's where I want to be. So you probably know. And eat at Dixie Crossroads. Really, Titusville?
Titusville, yes.
Nice. How about you been to Dixie Crossroads? I'm sure.
Yes. I was at Dixie Crossroads when nobody liked it and they had to go do
so, yeah, yes. Get some rock shrimp and some, yes. Yeah, it's yep. Good stuff. I love this. All right. So anyway, so you're comfortable with Walt Disney World. Obviously, it's part of your life. So how do you go about, because you're going to, I like this because I'm going to be in your shoes. I know Walt Disney World like the back of my hand, but never been to Disneyland. So how's the planning go for that? What gets you decide now's the time to go?
That's a great question. I kind of just decided, you know, we were originally going to do a Los Angeles trip and planning and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, to be honest with you, I don't really want to go to Los Angeles. I want to go to Disneyland. So we changed the trip from a few days to Disneyland. And then we went up to San Francisco for a few days because my sister lives there. So I was like, I lived in New York for 11 years. So I was like, I don't really care. The big city doesn't do anything for me. I just want to go to Disneyland. So that's kind of how that changed. And I was like, well, this no better time than now. Let's go and do it. Let's hit the West Coast.
Well, I'm glad I didn't have to cut you loose, because if you'd have said you went out there because you wanted to see some Rams football, you know, preseason stuff, I'd have been like, you're out of here. You know, that's good. You saved yourself. All right. So you guys, obviously, you want the full Disney experience. You stayed at the Disneyland Hotel. So how did you decide, you know, this is where we're going to stay? Because there's lots of good neighbor options. We got the three, you know, Disney-owned hotels. How did you land at that particular place?
The Disneyland Hotel, to me, was the place I always wanted to stay. It's a little pricey. You know, I looked at the Grand Californian, which, you know, is the newer, but that was the place I wanted to stay. We looked at good neighbor. In fact, it was funny because we were going to only stay at Disneyland Hotel for two nights and then stay at a good neighbor hotel for two nights. But when I was looking at the prices, and don't get me wrong, it's considerably different, but the good neighbor hotels weren't as inexpensive as I was thinking they would be. So I just decided, you know what? This is our vacation. You know, you always say, oh, this will probably be the only time I go, which coming back, I know that's just not the case. You know, but it won't be to this scale. But I just figured, you know what? If we're gonna do it, let's do it right. And we decided all four nights there, and you know, this is where I wanted to do. I saved up for it. Let's do it.
That's good. That's a good point. You know, you don't want to have any regrets. You know, I think that's the whole thing, is that you're always trying to save money. I mean, obviously, I don't have a ton of money either. So I'm always looking for that value. If I'm going to spend it, I'm going to save and maybe do without a few things for a few months leading up to a vacation, I want to make sure that I see value out of that money I'm spending. And it sounds like, well, looking back, before we dive into all the details, do you think you got a good value? I mean, what, any regrets going with that decision?
No, not at all. I mean, I will say when we did go to, when we checked out the Grand California, I was like, oh, this is pretty nice. But no, not at all. I definitely felt, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but I think as Disney fans, we get the whole, you feel that nostalgia, you feel that history, and it was definitely there. And, you know, and my wife, who's not as big of a Disney fan as I, she's kind of, you know, Disney by marriage, I think she really enjoyed it too. And of course my daughter did as well. So I no regrets, especially seeing her, my daughter's face and her excitement. No regrets at all.
How old was your daughter?
She's 9.
Oh, perfect age. My daughter's 9 as well. Yeah. You know, well, they have the good times or bad times, but mostly for vacations are a lot of fun. Girls can be crazy. So let me ask you this before we get into all the details of the trip, because I want to hear about this. Planning. Obviously, planning is not as intense typically for a Disneyland vacation as compared to Walt Disney World, but there's still a lot to do. So how did you attack that?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm an intense planner. So it was really weird not going, you know, not making Fastpass Plus reservations, things like that. I'll be honest with you, I was a little stressed out. It's like, you know, I remember the Legacy Fastpass, but it's like, you know, and then of course MaxPass was coming. So, but I honestly, I had my reservations booked way far in advance, probably farther than I needed to. I watched a ton of videos, you know, like it and I got into this whole Disney World versus Disneyland thing. It's like, you know, so it was just a lot of videos, a lot of, you know, listening to different podcasts, listening, you know, just researching, reading. And to be honest, when I got back, I was empty. Cause it's like, what do I do? I have nothing to plan for now. So, but I think like most of us, the planning is, to me, it's part of the trip. So it was great for the first time and like reading the differences. Oh, should I go on Soarin'? Is it the exact same? Is it not the exact same? And things like that. So,
yeah, isn't that the truth? Sometimes you get back from a big vacation and it's like you don't realize, but basically you took on another part-time job preparing for the trip. You know, I think that's exactly what we all feel. That's funny. Absolutely. So tell us about travel out there. Was it difficult, you know, going from East Coast to West Coast? Any tips from just getting there for our folks listening on the East Coast?
Yeah, I mean, we flew into Los Angeles, LAX, which and to be honest, we did that because it was a little cheaper. I think if I did it again, I would go into Anaheim, John Wayne. It's just a little closer. It's a long flight, however you slice it. It's 5.5 hours, which, you know, I mean, luckily we had good weather and have any delays. So, you know, the time is the time. But I think, generally speaking, if I could, I would fly into Anaheim as opposed to LAX.
Good tip. Yeah, a lot of our lizards are heading out that way for this weekend for the Disneyland half. So good luck. If I don't remind you at the end, good luck. Lizards, run well and have fun. So you arrive and you've been looking forward to this. You know, everything is new. There's just something to be said for like eyes wide open. Everything's going to be a new experience. What's that, you know, first couple hours like when you get there?
Well, it's funny because I, you know, reading up, you know, transportation from, you know, it's not like in Disney World where you have the Magical Express. They have I think it's called the Disneyland Resort Express, which is run by a different company. So, you know, we're waiting for that. And there's no clear signs like, you know, in you know, Orlando International, go down here, you know, like it's telling you where to go. So like, we're not sure. We're waiting. And honestly, it didn't take that long. We got on the bus and we're driving. And, you know, my first thought is, well, the traffic isn't so bad here in LA. But of course, it was a Sunday afternoon, you know, and being from New York, you know, living in New York is like, oh, traffic is much worse in New York. You know, we'll revisit that when we're heading back to the airport, which is a different story. But we get there and it's funny because the bus has to wait through the parking like everybody else does. So it took about 10, 15 minutes to get through, you know, the parking gate. I'm like, it's like, of course, you know, so I'm like, let's get through. And then you see the Disneyland Hotel and you're getting out, you walk in and you're just like, we've made it. We're finally here. And, you know, we go into our room and we're just like, what do I do first? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like all that planning I did, everything I had sheets, I had charts, you know, I had my touring plans. So I was like, well, what do we do? So, exactly. And of course, our answer was, let's go eat.
How'd you kick it off? What'd you have?
We went to Tangaroa Terrace. That was our first meal. It was on my list. And it was good. You know, I had the tuna poke. My wife and I and my family, we're pretty adventurous eaters. My daughter is an adventurous eater. She just doesn't eat a lot. And then sometimes for some reason she goes for these weirdly, really healthy meals. And it's like, okay, you sure that's what you want? Because I'm thinking of, because I know you're not going to eat it and I want to be able to finish it.
Exactly. Spoken. That's how I look at it. I'm like, oh yeah, Mallory, order that because, you know, you're only going to eat a quarter of that and that way I'll have a second meal.
And the funny thing with her, she doesn't like dessert. I mean, sometimes I don't know if she's our child or not. She doesn't like dessert. So whenever they ask, you know, what do you want for dessert? She goes, oh, I'll just have fruit. I'm like, no, order this. You're not going to eat it anyways.
That's true. Yeah. So my only connection to Disneyland is like, I listened to a lot of Nate and Matt talking about the history of Disneyland on Wedway Radio and, you know, the 3028 Matt's doing with Kevin, you know, talking about DCA and its history and its updates and so forth. So I just have this hunger to see all these things. I mean, I feel like I know them, like they're like old friends and I've never been there yet. So did you kind of feel like that because you're a Disney fan? So you know all that like history, you know, like this and that. Now it's like, oh, there it is right in front of me.
Absolutely. That's what it's like. It's almost like, you know, and I like, and I said this to my wife, it's almost like seeing a celebrity down the street. It's like, oh, look, it's, you know, it's so-and-so. And so you're like, oh, this, like, we're going to go eat there. And then tomorrow, you know, so, you know, like, I'm going to order. And Tangaroa Terrace is very similar to Captain Cook's. That, you know, that's kind of what I like to do. It's like, all right, I'm going to get this, and you're going to get this, and we're going to share this. And, you know, and my wife's like, whatever you want, just, you know, she a lot of it is just humor me, you know, so. But that's how it was. And then, you know, after we ate, we decided to go to the pool, and there was the Disneyland monorail slide. And I don't know, like, you know, I'm sitting here geeking out about it, and my wife is probably just like rolling her eyes, like, it's a pool slide. We have a pool at home. What's the big deal? It's like, but that's the monorail slide. So
yeah, your wife sounds a lot like mine. She loves her vacations. Don't get me wrong. She loves going to Walt Disney World. She loves going on the cruises and stuff, but she puts off with my Disney geekdom. You know, like, she's okay, that's cool. I see that you're very, very excited about that. I don't really understand why you're that excited over that particular, you know, flagpole or that particular, you know, street sign or something. But she tolerates me. I can't say much more than that.
Exactly. Yeah, and I told her, I think you're most excited to be here because I won't be talking about it for the next 6 months. I won't be telling you, oh, we're going to do this, this, and this. So.
Good point. Good point. So walk us through the rest of the trip. You know, you were obviously Walt Disney World vacations tend to skew longer than Disneyland. So I'm sure that you were pretty much on the go the whole time.
Yeah. So, you know, after we, you know, we decided on that Sunday, we weren't going to the park on that Sunday. We had 3 day park hopper passes for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So we went down downtown Disney, and you know, that's what we did on Sunday. We decided to come back and get some rest because one of the things I read about when you go to Disneyland is, you know, and I, you know, going to touring plans, they were all 9 and 10 out of 10 days. So, but they said, if you get there in the morning, you know, and you're pretty good. So that our plan was to get up at the, you know, crack of dawn, which was the good thing about it was 6 a.m. their time is 9 a.m. our time. Yeah. So I was, you know, so that helped out. So we were up, you know, that next day. When you stay at one of the Disneyland resorts, you get extra magic out early morning hours every morning. So, and on Monday it was for DCA. So our first day was at DCA, and we were there about 6:30. We were one of the first people in line. And, you know, that was kind of our plan going through each morning. And then of course we would take a break and go, you know, then take a nap and all that good stuff. And then I will say this, it was hot and relatively humid for, you know, from what I gathered, because a lot of locals were saying, oh man, it's usually not this hot and humid here. So so we didn't get, the weather wasn't that bad, especially that first day on that Monday. The weather was actually pretty nice. It was warm, but it wasn't too humid. But Tuesday and Wednesday, it was pretty good.
I'll take my chances with, you know, Southern California humidity over St. Louis and Florida humidity, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, I was because people that were complaining, I'm like, if you were at Disney World right now, you would have been just like, no, let's just end the trip now. So
it shocks me though that you went to DCA first. Like, did you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm at Disneyland and I'm going to DCA first? That shocks me.
That's exactly kind of what I was like. Oh man, how does this work? But because of the early morning hours being on that Monday, I was like, all right, we'll go there first. And then, you know, when we come back in the afternoon, we'll head over to Disneyland. And two, you know what? It actually worked out because I could get, I could walk for the first time through Disneyland with like a crowd, like with the bustling on Main Street. Yeah. And just, you know, instead of just like running to get to a ride, you know. So there was no hurry when we went back because it was like, it was already packed. So let's just take it all in. So that's, that kind of saved it. But yeah, that was kind of where I was going at when I found out that that Monday we would be doing DCA first. I was like, that's kind of anticlimactic, but we'll go with it.
Exactly. So what did you overall, like with DCA, you know, all, you know, it opened, it had some struggles. They put all this money into it, you know, did that big refurb. It's, you know, it's definitely awesome now from everybody that goes out there, rave reviews. What's your overall impression of that park? And were there any things that our audience maybe hasn't heard on other shows that you discovered that might make their vacation better?
Yeah, you know, I don't... It's interesting to me. I like DCA. I'm one of the Disney fans that, you know, I don't put a lot of stock in like what people say and things like that. I like to experience for myself. So I try not to have too many, you know, preconceived notions going in. I will say this, Cars Land is amazing. And if, you know, I always hear the rumors that they may be bringing that to Disney World. I hope so, because for me, it was worth the trip just to go there, just what they seen. I haven't got to see Pandora yet or any of that stuff yet. So it's amazing. And Radiator Springs Racers was great. So, I mean, to me, just that alone makes DCA worth it. But it's fun. I really enjoyed it. It has a feel that none of the other parks that I've been to have. You know, when we talk about Disneyland, it's kind of like an old friend that you haven't met yet. But DCA is, I can't compare it to anything in Disney World. I can't compare it to Animal Kingdom. I mean, I guess it would be closest to the studios, but even then, it's so. I think the thing that I found that I like the most about DCA is not really knowing much. I mean, I know what I've read and what I've seen, but not being able to compare it to anything else.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of how I feel about it, too. It just seems like it's its own thing now. You know, it doesn't, like you said, Disneyland's going to feel kind of like the Magic Kingdom. Obviously not, there's going to be so many differences, and, you know, it's got such a more rich story to it as far as history. So let's talk about Disneyland. So you get over there, finally, you've made it. What's the feel? What's the vibe?
You know, it's funny. Disneyland is... That's what I told my wife, and she called me dramatic, but it's like, to me, coming into Disneyland is like being in a dream, in the sense that you know it, but it's not exactly, because it's, you know, so it's smaller, it's more intimate. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, I was talking with my wife and daughter before we came, like, well, what do you like better? Of course, that's, you know, it's like, Disney World will always be my heart, but there's just something about Disneyland. I don't know. It's almost like you can feel, like I said it before, you can feel the history. It's almost like you're walking with Walt down Main Street. And it's something, I don't know, like, that it's hard to explain, but it's just that feeling of nostalgia. But it's also fresh. And there's a vibe there that is a little different than Disney World. And like that it's not a tourist destination in the sense at Disney World as much, but there's just, you know, it's that feeling you get of, I've been here before, but I haven't, because you know some things and but you don't. It's like, oh, if I turn here, oh no, that's not the right way. I gotta go around. So
that's interesting. So now, obviously, you did all this research, just like, you know, I have, and it makes me just happy to learn the history and to hear the stories, because, you know, that's where it all unfolded. And then they kind of copied that model, obviously, when they did Florida, and you didn't have kind of the firsthand, not as many, you know, Walt obviously wasn't involved as much, obviously, with Florida. He just had the giraffes and stuff. He didn't, you know, walk the grounds and so forth. So you mentioned you felt that, but were there any things that jumped out at you? Like, man, I'd done all this research for months and months and months, and yet, you know, this kind of surprised me when I turned this corner, or this was something I totally wasn't expecting to feel.
The intimacy of the park. I think that's what I wasn't expecting. I mean, you read it and people say it's smaller and stuff like that, but it really is a more intimate park. I knew it. I knew, my head knew it, but I don't think I was expecting that. And, like, you know, Sleeping Beauty's castle is not the big castle that Cinderella's castle is, but you get to walk through it, where you can't really walk through Cinderella's castle anymore. And I remember when you could do that. So it's, you know, it's, but that smallness, but even in that smallness, I don't feel that, you know, every inch of it, I think they've maximized.
Yeah, so I guess I've had to learn over the years, they have to, you know, when you're, you know, constrained like that. So let me ask you, so as far as attraction shows, stuff like that, what were your highlights, especially knowing that you're a Walt Disney World veteran? What were the things, like, when I go back, this is what I can't wait to do, you know, these few things?
Well, I want to, you know, the Radiator Springs Racers at night, that was our last thing we did on our last night. And that was probably, you know, even my wife was like, that was pretty amazing. I love Disneyland's version of Pirates. It's one of my favorite rides. I love it at Disney World, but it's so much better at Disneyland. So I would do that. And probably Indiana Jones ride. Those were our three rides that, you know, for me was my favorite. I can't wait to do it again. And I love Fantasmic. It's been years since I've seen Fantasmic in the studios, so seeing it there, and those are the things that I can't wait to do again. And funny enough, we actually left a couple of things on the table that we didn't get to do. So
you mentioned Fantasmic, so you got to see it since it is reopened, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so tell the listeners about that, because we're hearing great things about that. For folks like me, you know, I love it's actually my wife's favorite thing to see is Fantasmic down at the studios. But every person I talk to say, oh, it's way better at Disneyland. So tell us about that. You know, what makes it better if you think it is, and what was the new experience like?
You know, it's hard because, like I said, it's been a while since I've seen Fantasmic. In fact, it was funny because I wasn't even going to go see it because I was like, all right, it's Fantasmic. Mm-hmm. But then reading about it, I was like, all right, I guess we have to do this. And we actually did one of the dinner shows. And I recommend that. So Fantasmic at Disneyland isn't like it is in Hollywood. It doesn't have its own theater. So you're sitting on the floor. Not even realizing this, when, you know, we give them our tickets from our show, and they're like, it's over here. And I'm like, it's here? You know? Where's the stadium? You know, I'm like, oh no, this is it. I'm like, okay. So, and then people are sitting down, and I went and talked to somebody. Is this the standing show, or do you sit? And of course, everybody sits. And you know, and you know, it's funny because we're like, no, oh, people are going to stand once it starts, and they don't. They sit. You know, you're sitting on the ground. They're like, okay, this works. But the reason why I think the dinner show is, you know, getting to doing the dinner is because we were able to come up 15 minutes before it started and get good seats. If you don't have that or a fast pass, you have to be, well, as you know, you have to be there an hour. Like, people were telling me, like, 2 hours in advance, like, oh, I'm not, I could be doing something else. So we did that. We got really good seats. We were right there, right in front of, you know, we're in the Rivers of America. And they do it on Tom Sawyer's Island. And I think maybe that's why people love it so much. It's kind of more organic, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, that exact same word. It seems like people just getting together and it just happens. You know, it's not like you're sitting in, you know, row 17, seat 6, you know, and here's the, right, you know, exactly. We're going to do the wave now with the Brazilian tour groups, you know, kind of thing.
And the good thing about it too is right after Fantasmic, 5 minutes later, the fireworks start. And where we were, we had great view of the fireworks and their projections. Now, we weren't on Main Street to see them on Main Street, but you get another. So I was like, all right, this is perfect. So
now, speaking of that, you also earlier mentioned MaxPass. Did you guys get to use that or anything like that?
Yeah, so that was something I really wanted to use. I know a lot of local Disneyland people were kind of mixed on it, but then when it came out, I started reading it. We decided to go for it, and that it works great. Like I said, I remember the Legacy FastPass. I am a fan of my Disney experience and FastPass Plus. I know there's still debate about that. I do kind of like it, but I think MaxPass is actually a good mix of the two. You know, as soon as we scanned our ticket in, I was able to boot up the Disneyland app and pay for it. And a good pro tip is to have your credit card on your app. So it took me not even a minute to sign up for it, hit the three people, you know, my wife, myself, and my daughter, and we were in. And you really, it's, you know, you make your fast pass there and you go. You don't have to run to the ride and get the paper ticket. So we used it each day, and you also get the unlimited Disney downloads, picture downloads, their version of PhotoPass. And so to me, it was worth it. It's $10 a day per person, and it really was worth it. You know, once you scan your FastPass for your ride, you're able to immediately make your next FastPass selection right then and there. And you can also make your fast pass, like say if we were like on that first day, we went back to the hotel, you can make them from there as well. So once your time, once your time is up for your next one, like I, like the old school where I would set my alarm to go run and get the paper fast pass, set my alarm, get, boot up my phone, done. It really worked. What I will say, and I know some people, this has been an issue. Wi-Fi at Disney World is bad. Wi-Fi at Disneyland is worse.
Yeah.
So be prepared if you're going to use MaxPass to use your data. Now, for some people that I didn't see that big of an effect on it, but I just went ahead and said, I'm going to use my data, you know, and it works a lot easier than trying to use their Wi-Fi. When we tried to do the Wi-Fi, we had all kinds of issues. As soon as I shut my Wi-Fi off at the parks, I had no problem securing, you know, my fast passes.
That's a good point. That's a good pro tip. And, you know, speaking of that, because it's been, I can't believe it's been this long now, but I mean, since the rollout of my Disney experience, you know, five, six years ago now, you know, Wi-Fi was super sketchy down at Walt Disney World. And I found this summer it wasn't as bad. You know, I think that they're adding more and more hotspots and, you know, blanketing the area. And I'm sure, you know, now Disneyland's still in those infant stages of a rollout of a system like my Disney experience with MaxPass. And so hopefully, you know, if we're talking a year from now, you'll be like, oh, man, the Wi-Fi is much better. Because I think we're all going to have struggles with Wi-Fi. I have struggles with it. You know, when I taught in our district, I'm like, oh, yeah, we got, you know, it's mesh network. It's awesome. Now, no, it isn't. You know, I still have dead spots everywhere. But I think they're going to be forced because, you know, the locals are going to have data plans and so are folks in the United States, but you got folks that are international guests that don't want to buy data. They want to get their, you know, they want to use things like this. Hopefully you're a big tech guy. Hopefully this will improve quickly.
Yeah, they really do. It's of my few negatives, that would be probably the top negative is the Wi-Fi there. It's really bad. It's a little better in the hotel, but in the parks, I mean, there was just stretches of the park where there's just no Wi-Fi at all. And, you know, of course, in the rides, you expect that stuff when you're going there. I get that, but we would just be in the middle of Main Street or, you know, like on the back end and just no Wi-Fi at all. So, like I said, I hopefully that will, you know, that will be fixed, you know, because I think MaxPass, I think maybe not so much for the people that are local, but for visiting there, it really is. I would actually see something like that, you know, if they ever did to get rid of my Disney experience or FastPass Plus, which I don't think they are. It definitely, I really liked it. So I think it's something that will, you know, be there for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, you know, I don't like spending extra money. Don't get me wrong at all. But on a Disney vacation, time is money and convenience is worth something. You know, so again, it's one of those things you don't have to purchase it, but I like to also have options. You know, it's like the express bus service that went away down at Walt Disney World. You know, that was something I didn't use at all when we were down there for over 2 weeks. But if I would have wanted to have a four parks in one day adventure, it was there and I could have taken advantage of it. So I'd appreciated that. So as we close this out, Justin, let's talk dining here. You know, we're recording over lunch hour, so I'm getting a little hungry here. So you mentioned Tangaroa Terrace. So one or two other dining highlights for you.
So our Wednesday day was pretty much one of the best meal experiences I've had in my entire life. Cause I'm a bit, you know, we love to eat and, you know, we don't miss too many meals, but you know, we started out, that was our day when we kind of didn't get up early and go. So we started out with breakfast at Steakhouse 55, which the chilaquiles there are amazing. I can't recommend them. I told my wife when we're eating them, it's like, this is one of those meals where in 4 months from now, I'm going to say, you know what I'm craving right now? The chilaquiles from Steakhouse 55. And, you know, we've had them in Mexico. In Mexico, we're probably the best, but these were a close second. So that was our breakfast. For lunch on that day, we actually got into, we had an acquaintance that was able to get us into Club 33.
Oh, wow.
Which was a complete and utter surprise, which made a great vacation even better. And we got to eat there, and we got, you know, I got to eat, people may laugh, but it was a burger. I know you're going to Club 33, but this burger wasn't like, you know, something you get from McDonald's or Burger King. This thing was amazing. And it was delicious. And the cool, and just a real quick with Club 33, we were also able to get a whole like a stack of for each day fast passes. That made we had max pass. I already had it, but we didn't really need it after that. But still, it was, you know.
What was it like getting to go real quick with Club 33? Because I mean, how many people they get to talk to that go there? I know my buddy William does, but what was it like? I mean, because you appreciate it, you know. Like, there's I'm sure people that go in and out, like, okay, you know, it's a little, you know, VIP area, you know, whatever. But you know, you get what it's all about. What was that like being in there?
It's just the best way. I liken it back to what you're a kid on Christmas Day. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's like. You're like. Like we're sitting out there waiting, and the guy, you know, and they put a little thing and they ring the doorbell, and it's they're all nonchalant, and I'm like nervous. It's like at the very last second they're gonna tell me, no, you can't come here. You know, we don't let the riffraff. You know what I'm saying? So I get in there and I'm just looking around, and of course, you know, I'm also trying to play it off cool, like, okay, you know, it's like, and then they're like, yes, you can take pictures. So the phone comes out, and you know, taking pictures and stuff like that. And, you know, they were going up, like, yeah, pictures of everything. And even, you know, like, my daughter, we got my daughter a pin, and they're like, you can trade every pin you have, but this one, you cannot trade. Okay, this one has to stay. So, yeah, but, you know, we ate at the bar section. I can't remember what it's called. And it's just the attention to detail there. It's just... You can't describe it, you know. And again, you know, my daughter was kind of like, you know, what's so great about this? You know, like we tried to impress upon her, but even she at the end, she was like, yeah, this is pretty cool, you know. So
that's awesome.
You know, but we told my, you know, my daughter's spoiled because no other trip that we go on,
yeah,
if we ever go back to Disneyland, is going to be like this. We're probably going to be at a good neighbor. We're probably going to be, you know, so.
But yeah, that's why I try to tell Mallory, you know, most kids don't get to do the things you've gotten to do in your 9 years. I didn't even get to go to Disney, you know, World for the first time until I was in, you know, college, except for that one half day we were passing through the Magic Kingdom. So, she doesn't get, I mean, I love that I get the opportunity to give her those kind of opportunities, but
right.
I hope that, like your daughter, you know, it's hard to appreciate when you're that age, I guess.
Yeah, and we say the same thing because, you know, our last couple of trips at Disney World, we've stayed at, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge with the Savannah view. We stayed at, you know, the Contemporary. So it's like, you know, next time we go, we'll get to stay at All Star Music.
Yeah. You know?
But but she kind of got it because even now she'll be like, oh, remember this? You know, I'll show her the picture. She goes, yeah, that was a really good, you know, a good photo. So
As a parent, yeah, that's all you can ask for as a parent, though, when they come to you and say, man, that was fun, you know, and they want to look back on it, you're like, yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we finished that evening off with dinner at Carthay Circle. Again, just amazing food. That's the one thing, like, we had so much good food. You know, we had beignets, we had, you know, Dole Whip. I always get a Dole Whip. It's the same, you know, on each coast, but, you know, things like that. But, you know, we did the Carthay dinner because after we did the dinner experience for Fantasmic, I immediately booked reservations for the dinner thing for World of Color because it worked out so well. So, and the only one they had was Carthay Circle, which is, you know, one of the more pricey restaurants. And I'm like, at this point, what's more? So, but yeah, and the dinner was just amazing. So, I can't think of a meal we didn't like. I will say, the one thing I thought was not a disappointment, but my, you know, unpopular Disney opinion is that the churro is a bit overrated.
Oof.
Which I know a lot of people don't like that, but that's just, you know, that's my one unpopular Disney opinion. So.
Oh man, Mallory and I love a good churro. I'm just saying, we call them churros because they cheer us up every time we have a churro. Oh,
but the thing at Disneyland is they have, I don't know, 20 different flavors of churro. So.
Yeah, I just need a churro, you know. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like hamburgers nowadays. You can't just get a hamburger. So anyway, well, it sounds like before we go real quick, just like a quick one tip, like, you know, first timer, you went out there, you're like, oh man, if somebody would have told me this, it would have made my life easier. So is there one tip, not that I would want to know myself, but what would you tell somebody like me getting ready to go for the first time?
and I'll use this tip as coming from a Disney World goer. Don't stress out so much about the planning. We were there for 3 days and we hit everything on my list with the exception of a couple things, but they weren't big deal. But don't just go with it. But and get there early. The early morning there, even more so that Disney. I mean, getting early at Disney World is great, but at Disneyland, you can get a lot of stuff knocked out in the first 2 hours, and it's not too packed. So, you know, don't stress out and get there at rope drop. You know, if you have early, you know, morning hours, get there then. We were able to do a lot of stuff even without Fast Pass and stuff like that.
All right, sounds great. Well, hey, man, it was fun talking Disneyland. I appreciate it, Justin, and we'll have to talk again after your next big adventure. So thanks for kicking off the week with us here on the show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you guys.
All right, don't forget today's episode brought to you by our friends over at the Wisdom of Walt, talking about Disneyland. Walt Disney built it himself. You can read the stories. You can get the lessons from Dr. Jeff Barnes, the author. You want to get inspired. This is a great time. It's kind of a reset time of the year. Fall's coming on. Grab the book, thewisdomofvault.com. Drop by Amazon or just go by thewisdomofvault.com. Pick up your personally signed copy. And also, Justin mentioned touringplans.com. Have an idea. Have a strategy. Stay out of crowds and see the most amount of attractions possible when you head to Disneyland or Walt Disney World or even, oh my gosh, am I going to say it, Universal. So drop by today and go over to touringplans.com. Check out all the great trip planning tools they have for your next big vacation. Please do support the show when you shop online. Go to Amazon when you're shopping on Amazon, maybe picking up Jeff's book. Just go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That supports the show very, very much. Every time you shop, it's the same price. You get your Prime benefits, everything like that. But it does help support the show. So when you're shopping online, go to brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got an awesome Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Content there every single day. Lots of live videos. We want you to be a part of the action. So BeOurGuestPodcast on Facebook. All right, we're going to be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. But until then, enjoy the day off. And lizards, have a great time. I know that the weekend is just about over. Hope you had a great time out at Disneyland for the half. And you know what? This signifies the beginning of the heavy running season. We're getting ready to head into fall. Lots of training for Wine and Dine and marathon weekend coming up here soon. Wow, I didn't want to have to think about that today, but I guess I will. So anyway, we're going to get out of here. Have a great Monday. Justin, thanks a lot for joining us. I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work or not. Maybe not. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.